Welcome to the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team Podcast. I'm your host, David Starr, and in this series, you will hear from leaders across various industries discussing the impact of digital disruption and innovation, sharing how they've used Azure to transform their business. You can find our team online at aka.ms/INDXP or on Twitter at IndustryXP. Today, we're joined by a great team from Solix Technologies. And before we get started, we'll set the stage by saying that today's topic is data and more data and more data and what we can do with it. So with that, I'm going to ask people to go around the table and introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is John Ottman. I'm Executive Chairman of Solix Technologies.
Hi, I'm Kalyan. I'm the Director for Cloud Products at Solix Technologies.
Hi, my name is Jim Lee. I'm the VP of Data Services, ensuring customer success on the journey to new data platforms.
Hi, my name is Sai Gundavelli. I'm founder CEO of Solix Technologies.
And thanks, David. Paul Maher here from Microsoft. I'm a general manager and I lead the industry experiences team.
Wonderful. And we're on that team together.
We are indeed, David. So super excited to be here with Solix at Microsoft today. So if you're in the elevator with a potential customer, you know, what would be your 60 seconds of who Solix are and what you do? Sai, maybe you want to jump in?
Yeah, we help companies to monetize data, enterprise data, for security, for improve their cash flow, and you know, optimizing their compute is why, you know, why they buy Solix.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've had the privilege of working with Solix for probably, you know, sort of 12 to 18 months on the journey to the cloud, and super awesome Microsoft partner, and I've learned a lot. I mean, I thought I knew about data and databases, but you know, you guys leave me kind of in your dust in terms of your knowledge. But, you know, if I put my CIO hat on or my CTO hat on, you know, so as David said in the opening and introduction, data and more data, it's super, super important. If I think about some of the predictions from the analysts, and I know you do a lot of work, maybe you can kind of share some of the insights, but I think there's some, you know, prolific predictions about data proliferation and the growth of data. So, you know, if I was the CIO today thinking about what are the challenges I'm facing, what are they, what are the analysts saying, and maybe, you know, how are you helping? What are you seeing in terms of trends and opportunity?
So storage costs are obviously reducing per terabyte, et cetera. But the actual enterprise costs are actually increasing. And a lot of times, you know, it's a question, you know, hey, data is, you know, storage is cheap. But if you look at the backup costs, the DR costs, the compute costs, the maintenance costs, et cetera, if you look at the overall, your costs are actually increasing. So it's all about, you know, that's the dimension when we speak to CIOs. But this data platform messaging, when we meet a CIO, it's all about, you know, data infrastructure optimization. You meet a CFO, it's all about how can you use to improve your cash? How can we do to improve your cash flow, etc. Or if I meet a security, it's about like, how does it really help your compliance? So this platform, it's like an elephant. It's like a, you know, what you want to touch and what you want to feel, etc. But it does impact a CEO to a CFO to supply chain to all of that. That's typically what we have seen. John, you want to add anything?
Well, I mean, everybody today is trying to get to the data-driven enterprise. That's sort of the goal. And in order to get to the data-driven enterprise today, you've got to be able to get to all data. And it could be log data. You know, maybe you're trying to get to security and you need to look through all the log data of all your routers, which is a tremendous amount of data. And how do you get through this data? And or maybe you're looking to look at all your transactions for fraud detection and whatnot. And maybe some of the data is not traditionally stored in a relational database like it was for many years. And being able to manage it all these different types of data, all in a single place, is the challenge. It requires a new information architecture in order to deliver that.
Absolutely. Yeah. I completely agree with what John was saying too, because today in the CIOs, they are dealing with a completely different enterprise data landscape. And, you know, they're also, you know, struggling between making the data available, you know, also at the same time, you know, staying compliant. and you know the data sovereignty rules, you know, it could be the you know, the data privacy rules, it could be you know their own information policies around you know what data is being shared with you know which employees. You know, there's a lot of challenges that CIOs are facing today, and the information architecture is the right approach. You know, building the right enterprise information architecture is the right approach for them to create an enterprise-wide path to really, you know, deriving value out of the data.
I'm going to start with a question for Sai. What market opportunities do you see in this world of data that we're talking about?
Thank you, David. Every enterprise talks of data as the new oil to mine. And what we're seeing is how you can use data to improve customer satisfaction, how you can upsell, cross-sell, how you can improve your compliance, how you can improve your cash flow, how you can improve your, optimize your cost. So we are talking about like how we can help an enterprise in optimizing all their assets using data. And that's what we are pioneering, this entire enterprise data management, which becomes the IA, information architecture for AI for an enterprise.
And does this data come from existing resources typically, or is there more added in to bring it all together?
So if you look at the past, data is all about data that is generated internally. Now it's data generated internally, externally, socially. It's all data. You are going to be seeing what products do I want to develop? So you're going to look at social data to say whether people are liking it, which dealer is able to sell, which dealer is not able to sell. So we are looking at all data that influences an enterprise. It's data internal, external. It could be even weather data. It could be traffic data. All aspects of data that can help an enterprise to do the next generation analytics.
So what's working well and what could use a little improvement in this world that you're describing?
So, you know, enterprises, you know, understand the value of data, but they don't know how to kind of really get to that. So what we are doing is fundamentally, first of all, making them understand what data you have, what is the metadata of the data that you have, what are the governance rules out of that data, what are the legal hold, what is the retention management, what is data sovereignty, can you use multi-cloud or hybrid cloud, etc. We are laying the foundation for them to understand the data fabric of an enterprise, and that's the foundation. Once you have the data, then you can expose the data to the next generation AI, deep learning, machine learning, etc. is the whole thought process.
So one thing we talked about before we even got on the podcast here, someone stated that even social data is important to the enterprise. So I would like to understand how that's true.
You know, the whole subject we're talking about is really the rise of cloud data platforms, and why is this happening? You know, it goes back to an old axiom that a consultant, Peter Drucker, famous consultant, said, you know, if you can't improve something unless you can measure it, right? And so in the past, data platforms were all about structured data, and that gave rise to databases where you do materials resource planning or enterprise resource planning or enterprise data warehouses, all based on structured data, which gave you a lot of key performance indicators you could build on and improve your business results. Now what we're seeing is the data is exploding, not just in structured, but also unstructured and semi-structured data as well. So we have to have a whole new concept here to be able to collect all of this data, which previously we didn't think of as being as valuable. Actually, the growth of data is exploding as well, exploding at exponential rates. And so how do you manage and store all of this data so that you can run these next generation processes on it that allow you to become a data-driven enterprise?
So let me add some context to that, right? So think of like, hey, you have a prospect for an enterprise. I mean, you have a prospect and you know, you're going through the sales process right now. If I can see what clicks am I getting, are they downloading any white papers? Are they going into my LinkedIn and searching me? That's the social data. If I can connect all the dots, then I can potentially, my guesstimate will be higher in terms of, will this be my customer or potentially I'm going to lose my customer. So bringing in all the data together is what we see as a next generation opportunity with the social data as well.
That's true. And in fact, also when you talk about social in general, right? So the whole concept of influential, you know, influencer-driven marketing is also really, you know, taking a rise, right? If you think of, you know, how Instagram is being used, how is Twitter is being used to really propagate a message around a particular brand and really, you know, build that influence around that particular brand and, you know, have more people really, you know, even think of trying it, right? And earlier it used to be just based on, you know, few popular profiles out there, but now organizations are really trying to tap into the social data as well and bringing in a lot more intelligence into how you exactly leverage the influencers as well to really promote your brands. I think there's a huge influence of, you know, how data is coming in and how the data is being used by organizations. Yeah.
So you're reaching out to those top influencers in a given field, in a given vertical, and starting a conversation with them about your organization and then promoting it potentially. Is that the idea?
Yeah, and also, you know, being able to bring in those insights and back and connect it with the, you know, insight, you know, the sales data that you also have, and being able to merge that, you know, together and be able to really make a much smarter, you know, campaign around your brands and your outreach programs is how you're actually, you know, how organizations are actually using the digital, you know, mediums today. They're trying to make it more smarter in terms of and more personalized, right? And that's how social is definitely, you know, very useful today.
I didn't realize it was so deeply entrenched in
I'll give another example, right? Even in healthcare, it's all about like a prescriptive care right now. The future is going to be predictive and preventive care.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, getting in the data demographics, you know, if in the zip code, if you're seeing like a lot of a viral, and if you know your particular patient has, you know, more susceptibility to that viral, if we can say, hey, you know what, you might potentially get it, now instead of prescriptive care, now you're predictive and preventive care. So I think bringing in all the you know, all of this data together, it doesn't have to be bringing it, as long as you're able to connect to it, and that's the whole idea of the fabric, you know, all the data that influences a particular problem, if you connect to that, there are a lot of answers in that. Now it is going to be, it's up to us, can you ask the questions and get those answers.
So you're implying that I would start with a question rather than starting with data and looking for insights into the data.
I'm saying first, you know, connecting all the dots of the data, that becomes a foundation. Now you have all the answers in the data. Now, for instance, I'll give you another example. Like you have all the payroll data on your data platform. Your algorithm can potentially say how much increments female are getting versus male are getting in a particular. If it, that is unusual compared to all the rest of the other departments in an organization, your algorithm can say potentially there could be something over here. You know, so it's an algorithm that is like a predicting, because let's say, you know, women are getting less or higher or whatever. That unusual patterns, I think are a potential possibility where this entire enterprise data can play an important role.
The potential to have personalized data, meaning identifying data about myself, what are some of the governance issues that you have to deal with these big data warehouses and data lakes and such?
Well, I mean, the when people say data lake, the negative side of that is that it doesn't become a data swamp. And it's very, very easy to copy data and keep copying data. And you end up with more and more data, and you don't always know where you are in terms of compliance. So compliance means that you know where your data is, and you can get to it, and you can describe it, etc. So when you start taking your data and building data lakes with one or two clicks, and they start proliferating across your entire enterprise in the same ways that in past times file servers proliferated across the enterprise, there has to be a governance framework to oversee the whole thing. And so data governance in the sense of information lifecycle management is critical, from when data is created to the policies that are going to govern that data throughout its lifecycle until it's finally deleted or destroyed. And so as a CIO, I think you have to really be thinking, if I unleash data lakes all over my enterprise, what sort of governance challenges might I be unleashing as well?
In addition to what John said, just as important is understanding what I have. Knowing what I have leads to the way I have. Knowing what I have allows me to define what policies I should have that says, how can I share the data, who can I share it with, and then what's the final disposition of that data? Do I keep it, do I delete it, etc. I want to share data to gain maximum value while protecting the data from those who don't have access and shouldn't have access.
And we have lots of rules around data sovereignty in different countries that cause us to treat data in different ways, right? How does that impact your business?
That is one of the reasons why customers buy our data platform. It's understanding the data sovereignty rules. It's understanding how even departments operate with each other, understanding rule-based security from a data perspective. Sometimes you also want to understand by tax, sharing data share among, like in a healthcare, this blood group, I want to be shared by all these doctors, etc. It's not rule, but that blood group, that tag is what, how you share. So this is one of the important dimension why, enterprises want this data platform, having a, I want to be able to optimize my storage. I want to be able to optimize my compute. I want to be able to optimize my data sovereignty, data security, data governance. That's the foundation. And without that, you can't really monetize the data.
And the cloud offers a lot of specific cloud native architectures, so to speak, offer a lot of advantages for things like data sovereignty. If you're thinking of GDPR and you're located in the European Union, for instance, the ability to use object storage and containerized storage to be able to house your data in a geographic location required by law. And maybe you're a multinational company and you have data requirements to be housed in multiple countries, and the ability to containerize your data in the cloud is a native capability. So I think this is one of the big reasons why data is moving to the cloud so fast.
So the what's interesting is, of course, we're talking generically about data, and it's been fun speaking to Solix, and of course you work across multiple industries, and we talked about financial services, healthcare, and so on and so forth. We have a broad set of listeners here, so perhaps maybe could you share some examples of what are the challenges, whether it's financial services, whether it's healthcare, manufacturing, and so on, but maybe some examples of what you're dealing with and how the Solix solution is helping. And then my semi-provocative statement would be, of course, people talk about data and sometimes it's understated, right? And to me, and you've kind of reaffirmed that, I think data is king. Data is at the journey of transformation. So, as you think about the innovation you're driving with your solutions in industry, perhaps you could share some of the transformation that's happening. So, we talk about getting data into the cloud and so on and so forth, but driving meaningful insights. But what innovation are you seeing at the end of the pipeline as well? But let's start with what are some of the common problems you're seeing and you're solving? And then I'd be super interested in terms of the innovation at the end of the pipeline.
Right. So we have one very large customer, very large bank, and I asked him that question. I said, why did you choose us, and what's your big problem? And his problem was that he could not get a hold of the data. He didn't have the data. Now, he's a CTO of a big bank, and that's kind of crazy to say he didn't have the data. But actually, data in large corporations is usually owned by app owners. And a CTO can't just go to an app owner and say, give me your data. It's like, well, what are you going to do with my data, right? So ingestion becomes a critical challenge for CIOs and CTOs to be able to move data into these new formats like cloud data platforms so they can get after those data-driven applications. And what we're able to do is provide best practices of ingestion, such as archiving, which is moving data as opposed to copying data as an ingestion process. And there's this thing called the data fabric, which is a tremendous challenge. Now, if you think about where the data is, it's all over your corporation. It's in file servers, it's in email servers, it's in mainframes, it's in Unix servers, it's in Oracle, it's in SAP, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're all different formats, different connectors. And how do you connect everything together like some giant octopus and make it a smooth and seamless architecture so that you have a semantic layer to run applications from the source of the data to the actual data discovery, of which is the end user use case. Mm-hmm. So this data fabric is a huge, huge challenge, and just ingesting data in a compliant best practice way, also a huge challenge for CIOs.
Mm-hmm. So let me just add something to John. I can take like a healthcare as an example. Mm-hmm. CIOs, healthcare companies are operating on a laser thin margin. Cost really plays a very important role, and they're collecting massive data, all the x-rays, all the documents and all of that. Compliance is also another big angle. Any compliance issue for healthcare, they get into a huge multi-million dollar lawsuit. So can we solve cost and compliance using data as an example? So like, how do we do that? So we optimize the storage of data. Hey, if you're least using it, can we optimize in an archive layer, object store as an example, or can we optimize on cloud because your DR backup and, a lot of cost stuff, you reduce with that. So that's an angle we talk to a healthcare company. At the same token, how do we really do that? We do this because we have the metadata repository. We have the data governance in place. We can help on GDPR compliance or the new rules that are, suppose only in Germany or Canada, etc. So this is how like a cost and compliance is like a primarily a driving factor to why I want to use a data platform.
Interesting. So you're obviously having to have informed conversations with mixed demographics at the customers, and obviously different requirements and regulations, security compliance plays a big part. And then what are you seeing in terms of the innovation at the end of the pipeline? So you've got all this interesting data that's being pulled together. What are the endpoints? What's the kind of the exciting, meaningful insights that are being driven?
So this is an area. Typically, when we explain the data platform, we simply explain as like a 5 C's. Using data, you can optimize your cost, compliance, cloud, customer 360 degree, and your cash flow. But more importantly, what we are kind of really wanting to do is, how do we help enterprises monetize their data? And if you see all the articles, hey, we need a lot of data scientists and all of that, etc. And we are kind of really exploring a model of more like in mobile phone, you've got this app store. Can we create the IA kind of an infrastructure with the governance, with the ILM, with the retention management and all of that, and make the data available as an API? Are very easy for even internal employees to consume the data, searching, querying, etc. Or like providing the data as an API for a third party. If I give you my sales data, can you tell me which customer will pay or which customer will buy or not buy, etc. So I think if we can open up the data and the metadata for this marketplace, like what Microsoft has it, etc. I think there's an opportunity to bring like a lot of innovation. A lot of CIOs don't have time to think what can they do with the data. If somebody had given a mobile phone and said, these are all apps, you can develop it. I don't know how many people would have developed it, but just making it available, you made it easy for people to consume the mobile phone. I see that also as an opportunity, and to see how we can bring ecosystem of partners, which are pre-built, pre-certified applications where I can improve your GDPR compliance. I can improve your cash flow. I can collect money faster. Simple, easy applications that customers can use it, but they don't really care whether you're using deep learning or machine learning or AI. Help me solve the problem. Underlying, we can make this manageable.
So great to hear about Solix. So we talk data. Let me just throw out the elephant in the room. So when we think about data, are you thinking on-premise? Or are you thinking the cloud? And how does Solix think about that?
There's tremendous momentum of data going to the cloud. I think everybody knows that, and you know, there's good reasons for it, because these next generation data-driven enterprise applications like machine learning and artificial intelligence, they're incredibly compute intensive, they're very, very expensive. And now using, for instance, the Azure cloud, machine learning algorithms can be used in an elastic computing sense. In other words, you know, I can use that compute for an hour, and because I only need it for an hour, and as opposed to having to go out and acquire a whole infrastructure yourself. So the pay as you go concept of elastic computing is really, really key for when you're talking about these monster compute intensive, a lot of data intensive environments that these next generation applications have. And so, you know, we're seeing momentum of everything, frankly, headed to the cloud, ease of use, speed of deployment, click, your instance is up and running. You know, this is a big enabler for the data-driven enterprise.
Let me add one more thing too. You know, a few decades back, the most highest paid in an enterprise was CEO, Chief Electrical Officer. Not Chief Executive Officer, but the Chief Electrical Officer. Now you see what happened. Electricity, you can get it when you wanted it. Same thing see happening on the IT side. The infrastructure will be available on demand when you need it. You don't need to create these massive data centers. You don't need this cooling, air conditioning, and worry about the storage costs and security, etc. That's what we see happening. Enterprises will, in the next decade, will all be on a cloud platform. And that's what we are helping customers to see. How can you be a cloud kind of an enterprise? And by doing that, how we can bring all these other applications on top of it. So the Solix Cloud, thanks, Paul. We made it work on top of Azure platform. And as John said, this is pay-as-you-go and on-demand and good way to kind of really get started, the cloud journey, et cetera. And then I see more and more data can come to a cloud. And it really helps the enterprise in terms of managing their costs and compliance.
Fantastic.
And as compute goes on elasticity on demand, imagine the next step. Imagine data on demand.
Yeah.
You get on a cloud. I want data today. I push a button. I should get my data.
Yeah.
Not wait. So we're moving now from compute to data.
What does having been a Microsoft partner bring to your product development? How has it helped you to be a Microsoft partner?
I mean, first of all, it's a very mature and very widely used platform. So we actually have customers coming to us telling us that this is where they want the data. So that's reason number one. And reason number two is the products that we're rolling out in what we call Solix Cloud are two suites. There's one called Enterprise Archiving, which is database archiving, file server archiving, email archiving, and also application retirement. That's one suite of products that we use as an ingestion process into the cloud. And then there's the Enterprise Data Lakes, which is the uniform data collection mechanism for all of this data into the cloud. And what Microsoft's got is a wonderful set of services that works very well with the Solix Enterprise Data Lake. For instance, the Machine Learning Studio is a wonderful service to be able to use against data that we've collected in an Enterprise Data Lake with Solix Cloud. So there's a lot of complementary services that are helping us, and certainly your customer base wants us to be there. So that's it.
I would also add, overall, we are pretty inspired by the Microsoft Azure ecosystem. I've seen some of your partner applications, your marketplace, and also the way you helped us to get onto Azure platform. I really want to commend that one because, you know, it was new. We were running an RFP across multiple cloud players and all of that. And we finally selected Azure platform, and the support that we received from Microsoft was amazing. And so that helped us, and really truly like the overall vision of, you know, Microsoft Azure And we believe that we can play an important role. And customers are also asking, you know, fairly big, large companies are saying, we want to, you know, do this on Microsoft Azure platform. So both the customer, as well as the support, as well as the ecosystem in terms of what you plan to do, I think together, I believe like we can do a lot more to enterprise customer. That is what has really inspired us to work with Microsoft.
What would you like people to take away?
And you can just come visit us at SolixCloud.com and check out Solix Cloud Enterprise Archiving and Solix Cloud Enterprise Data Lake and the services, native cloud services that we're integrating with the Azure Cloud.
Fantastic.
And David, I would add that if you want to get on and learn more about Azure, that you can also get a free account. Just go to Azure.com. I want to thank everybody for being here today and for contributing your awesome perspectives. This was actually a great show, and I know that a lot of people are going to learn as much as I did. So thank you all very much.
Thanks David.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Microsoft Industry Experiences Team podcast, the show that explores how industry experts are transforming businesses with Azure. Visit our team at aka.ms/IndXP. And don't forget to join us for our next episode.